To get us started, as we go and we move through worship, we'd like to read the first part of our scripture today that we're going to be in. And our sermon today comes out of 1 Corinthians 12. And remember, we're going through passages in these last couple of weeks about things that we have used as support before, but we are diving in and looking at them more closely. Last week, we looked at specifically at the main thing. It was the Great Commission. That's not a denominational thing. That is a Bible thing. The Great Commission is the main thing. And what we're looking at today is kind of how we achieve that. We cannot achieve the Great Commission if we don't get what we have today. And we're going to be in most of this chapter, but we're going to start out just for this time in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. And Paul writes, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kind of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." As Father in heaven, as we come to worship you today, as we've come just to connect, to glorify you, we pray, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would cultivate our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would bring, Lord, teach us, draw us, convict us, do whatever it takes, Lord, to where we may be one in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, We're in 1 Corinthians 12, and kind of the not kind of, but the history of 1 Corinthians is it is a letter written to the church at Corinth from Paul, because he's responding to things that he's responding to two things. He's responding to reports that he has received of this chaos that is happening at the church of Corinth, that he is he's uneasy about. He's concerned about. And then also there's evidence in Scripture that shows that he has received a letter that has asked specific questions, and so he is responding to this letter that's seeking advice, and he is responding to these reports of the chaos that he has heard, and sinfulness even in the church, some things that were okay in the pagan world, in the Gentile world at this time, that were brought into the church. And Paul is writing about specific things. And one of the things that we find that he's talking about is that of spiritual gifts. And in chapter 12 through chapter 14, we're not going to be in that whole passage. We will reference it. We see that he's also mentioned things about spiritual gifts in Romans 12, we will not be in there, but again, something for you to note down for your personal research and for your study. But he's talking about these things, and what we see and what we've already read the first part of that passage is that spiritual gifts are important. That they are important. We see in Scripture, and that we've studied over and over again, is that Jesus said to his disciples before he went, he says, "Hey, I'm going away. I'm going away. I'm going to die. I'm going to be in the ground for 3 days. Then I'm going to raise again. I'm going to go to the Father." And he said, "But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you a counselor. I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you a comforter. He gives these different descriptions of one that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will glorify me because I glorify the Father. And so we see this the Trinity that's coming together to do the one thing that God has set out to do. And so the Holy Spirit works in this world often through our giftedness. He works through His church. He works through His people. And what we will see and what we have seen and what we'll continue to read is that spiritual gifts come from a single source. They are from God. They are not something when you join the church that I say, you know, you have the gift of this. You know, pick a card, any card. It doesn't work like that. It's not one that you get to pick. And it's not like say, well, you know, I'd rather be this or be that. It doesn't work like that. But that spiritual gifts come from the single source of God the Father through the Holy Spirit, and they are given for the good of the whole church. For the whole church. And every individual has an indispensable part to play in the life of this one body. This one body. Now, I may step on some traditions. I may step on some things that you know. I encourage you, I challenge you to write those things down. I challenge you to get in the Word of God. And if something that I say today is like, I don't agree with that because I've been alive a lot longer than you have, and these are things that I have not heard before, and they are against everything that I've ever heard, I challenge you to write those down. I challenge you to get in the Word of God and to test those things to see if they are good. Because it's not about what I have to say. It's not about what an old pastor has to say. It's not what your mama told you. It's about what the Word of God has to say. And there has been some myths. There has been some deceit when it comes again about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that we have encountered. There are myths that say there are some gifts that are no longer valid. There is that. And I tell you, the idea from this passage that we read that there are no longer gifts valid, I tell you, friend, and I speak it, and I speak it as truth, that is a lie from hell or from the tradition of man. And there is no biblical evidence that supports that gifts no longer exist. And you say, Pastor, what about 1 Corinthians 13, the next chapter. And I know of that verse. Read two verses later. We'll look at that in just a minute. And then read chapter 14. We have to consider the truth of God's Word in the context of which it was written. We can't take just one verse and hang on to that one verse as if it is the only truth. What is before it, what is after it, what is the context of it? I've shared with you before that we could take a verse out of Job 2 where it says, curse God and die. We could say, hey, that's in the Bible, but it is outside of the context of the Bible, because if we read before it and we read after it, we see that it is Job's wife that is responding to the storm that her husband is going through. And those are her words. Those aren't God's word. It tells a narrative about the difficult place that they're going. I tell you, the idea of that no longer, that some spiritual gifts are no longer valid, that is a myth. And we do see that church, and say, well, what about this? What about that? I could only imagine the questions that may be coming next week, and I hope they are. I'm looking forward to them. Is that churches tend to err on extremes. Churches tend to err on extremes. We have those that can be very charismatic. Those, as we were having a conversation just earlier today, is that some that say that you aren't saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit until you speak in tongues. There is no truth to that. And then you have the other extreme that removes the Holy Spirit from the whole event. And so we have these extremes of charismatic or anti-charismatic. And often churches, especially Southern Baptist churches, can err on the anti-charismatic side of things. And there's a balance. There is a balance. Stephanie and I had a conversation once. And well, why don't we see these spiritual gifts in Southern Baptist. We've been here and it talks about these gifts. We've experienced these gifts in different places. And so why don't we see those everywhere if they are the Holy Spirit? Well, that concept of a birds of a feather flock together. And if a spiritual gift is given and it's not received in some place, well, somebody's going to go to where their spiritual gift is, where it's received. But we do know that some spiritual gifts can be abused, and that unfortunately happens too often. But just because man has taken something and has thwarted it, messed it up, perverted it, just because tradition, because of lack of understanding and lack of biblical foundation, people have struggled with it and couldn't explain it. So because you can't explain it, you just do away with it. Because of those things, because we have a deceiver called Satan and the army of demons that come against his church, I mean, what better way for Satan to come against the church than to come and bring confusion about the way the Holy Spirit works? So hopefully today we'll debunk some of those things, or at least encourage us and somehow to seek deeper what these mean. I also want to talk about, we got myths that we got to debunk, and we have, and now there's talents and spiritual gifts. And one time we were talking about spiritual gifts. I gave something when I first got here, about 2 years after I was here, about what your spiritual gift is. We had about five people respond. And was that like bad to say? Hey, today, last week we talked about the main thing. Today we're talking about how we get the main thing. This is it. This is it, and if we can't come under the Holy Spirit in these things, then we are in a place where we need to pray that God would do a mighty work in us and bring a conviction like never before. It's not my thing, it's His thing. It's all about Christ, and we will see that as we move through here today. But out of those five, one of them said their spiritual gift was singing. And while singing is a talent, and many of us have different talents that we can use to glorify God, but and talents can be used in non-Christian ways too. I mean, if you have a talent of whatever, I mean, there's just a plethora of talents. Singing, since it's been brought up, we see people every day on TV and on radio that are singing in ways that don't glorify God. But spiritual gifts we cannot use except to glorify God, because they are from God, in what we'll see. So so we can use our talents for God, but they are, again, the spiritual gifts were given by the Holy Spirit for the building up. Listen, it's the Holy Spirit, or the spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit are given to build up the church. Meaning that they must be present, they must be exercised in the way the Holy Spirit directs them to, or the church can't function properly. I mean, the organization can, because we can make business decisions, but spiritually, the church cannot fulfill the main thing without this thing, without the Holy Spirit and His gifts. But the bottom line is, and we find this in Ephesians 4, that all, if we're a follower of Christ, if we come today and say that I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I live in such a way that shows His Lordship, again, we could say it, but to actually do it is one thing, and we have truly been saved, then it means that we have all been equipped to be involved in the work of the ministry. And also, we see that all gifts, they contribute to the cause of Christ out of gratitude of what He has done for us. Again, this is the work of the Spirit through His church, and I'm not talking about the 501c3, I'm talking about the gathering of the body of Christ, the people. The Holy Spirit works through us, and it is the job of church leaders, we see in, again, of Ephesians 4, to help and build up the saints so they can be further equipped for the work of ministry. We want to see revival, then the saints need to pray. We want to see the Great Commission and the world changed. Well, then the saints need to let the Holy Spirit work through them. And I tell you, before we read in 1 Corinthians 12, the intended result of spiritual gifts is that the church as a whole can grow and being strengthened by the combined supply of each member from the body of Christ or from the Spirit of Christ. You get that? The strength of the church isn't in solely in the charisma of its leader, and not in the worship style of its worship leader. It comes from the combined strength of the church, of the body of Christ that comprises it. You have a spiritual gift. We are complementary. And what that means is that by ourselves we can't do it all, but together we can. And that's the way God intended it. Let's pray, and then we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, if we were to talk to everybody here, Lord, you know their heart. Lord, we want to see life change. We want to experience life change. We want to see people coming to salvation. We want to see baptisms. We want to see, Lord, you work. We want to experience the move of your Holy Spirit. Father, you have put in us what can get that done. Lord, it is in us, your word tells us. I pray, Lord, you would open up our minds, our hearts, our eyes, our ears, all that we are, Lord, to what your word has for us. Lord, I pray that you would challenge any tradition that we hold on to. I pray, Lord, that you would challenge any anything, Lord, that would come against your desire for your church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 27. Now, don't fall asleep in this today. All right? Don't. I'm telling you, if last week's the main thing, if we don't get this today, then we might as well all go fishing. Now, some of you are tempted. Go for it. I will be here because I get it. And many of you today will get it too. This is it right here. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. The body, you hear, it's talking about the church. And it's not talking about the whole church and the whole world. It is talking about the local body here. This is true of all evangelical, Christ-believing churches. And in verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And then it goes on, and listen to this. It just follow it closely. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. You hear that? God has placed you right here because he desires it. And it says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer than the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And the members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. Man, that was a lot going on in those last few verses, right? Okay, and so if you tuned out on that, come back on this. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. Why? So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Man, if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Man, there's a lot in this passage, a tremendous amount. And so if you're following along in your listening guide, we're going to get started off right here. First, we see the church is the body of Christ. It is the church of, these kind of passages are where we get the term that we are the hands and feet of Christ. Christ can do a work isolated of the church because he is God, but he chooses to work through his church. The church was put on this earth to continue the work of Christ, and he says, the work that I have for you, I'm going to send you a helper. We see that in John 14 and John 16. I'm going to send you the helper that's called the Holy Spirit, and he is going to work through you. So therefore, the work of the Great Commission, the work of God in this earth, for whatever reason, God decided to establish a church of Christ believers that he would empower with different gifts to go and do the work of God in this generation. Man. And so we see, again, the church is the body of Christ, not the building, not the thing, not the things of it, not the incorporation, but it is the people. It is y'all know that. We've talked about that. I won't get passionate about that right now. But we see that, so it talks about parts, talked about a hand, foot, eyes, ears, talked about different parts, and it designated those parts as spiritual gifts. It was like a metaphor. And we see several things about these spiritual gifts. We see, again, the church is the body of Christ, and we see first that there is a diversity of gifts. The word that we just read in the New American Standard was there is a variety of gifts. There are many gifts. There's no one person that's going to be exactly like the next person. When God, when he sees you, when he sees your making, however he chooses, the Holy Spirit bestows upon you at salvation a spiritual gift that can be found in this passage that we have just read, passages beyond this passage, Ephesians 4, I think it's 1 Peter 2, I may be wrong on that one, I know it's in 1 Peter, and then also in Romans 12. And so we see God can bestow any gift, and he chooses what they are. So there is a variety, or there is a diversity of gifts, but we see that there is an equality of gifts, where what we're in that confusing passage, where essentially what he's saying in there is no gift is more important than the other. And some will stand out. My teaching is one that is out front of people. Prophecy, it talked about, especially when you go into 13 and 14, it talks about tongues. They were misusing it here, and he was correcting that. But there is an equality of gifts, because regardless of the gift that you have, they are all important. They are all important, and they are all needed. And given in this metaphor, this comparison to a body, I mean, imagine stubbing your toe. You stub the toe, that which is hidden that nobody will see today, it can affect the rest of the body, can it? And then there's a diversity of gifts, or a variety, there's an equality of gifts. Then we see that there's a unity of the gifts where they all come together. Now imagine this. It says that Christ is the head of the body. So that doesn't mean the pastor's not the head, the pope's not the head. Christ is the head. So you have this body, and Christ is the head of this body. Well, guess what? The body, it's going to do what Christ wants it to do. He is the head. It is his direction. And so it brings us to this next point, is that the church has the same spirit. The same spirit that unites us, that brings us together. And we see as the church has the same spirit, and if it has the same mind. Again, everything is centered on Christ. Everything is centered on God's word. Everything is about what God wants to do. So just because you have a gift doesn't mean you get to exercise it in the way that you want to. We do that with talents, but that's not true of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are of the Spirit, so there's unity in the Spirit, and we have the same mind. That means that they are Spirit-led. We are Spirit-led. We don't have to be charismatic to make this statement of us, but as followers of Christ, we are a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-led church. And I would even go to argue to say that any church that would say that they're not Spirit-filled can't be a church. It can't be the body of Christ. They may be an organization. They may be a 501c3. They may have a pretty building with a nice white steeple on top with a nice little T there somewhere. But it cannot be a true church if it's not Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Friend, we are a Spirit-filled church. And we are a Spirit-led church. And we see the same mind next with the same purpose. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that is leading this. It is He that, remember Christ says, and when He comes, He will teach you what to say, and He will remind you of the things that I have taught you. It is all centered on Jesus Christ. In verse 7, we saw the word common good. It produces, what does that mean? It produces that which is beneficial. And not beneficial for us, but beneficial for the kingdom of God. What does Christ want to fulfill through us? And since we are comprised of people with a variety and a diversity of spiritual gifts, it may be different here than what God wants to do through the Point or through Blue Angel or through Pleasant Grove. We are a body that God has put together for a specific purpose that would be beneficial for the kingdom of God. That word there also means to combine in a way that brings a profit. And now the profit that we experience in church is transformed lives and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's also the word means it results in the benefit and advancement. The advancement of what? Again, the kingdom of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, we complement one another. He brings us together, but all for the same purpose, and that is the cause of Christ. And then also we saw in verse 25 the same purpose. It is to have concern for one another. Did y'all remember reading that? That there is an importance for us to come together. And it is the mission of God through the Holy Spirit for us to come together and encourage one another. Now, if we're coming and we're all about encouragement and we're not plugged into God, then again, it's not a spiritual gift. You're just being nice. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. You can read through that. It talks about considering others. But the same purpose, to produce the common good, we saw in verse 7. And then in verse 25, we see the same purpose of having concern for one another. And considering each other. And then the passage that we didn't read, but you can write this down. It is in 1 Corinthians 14, 5, 11, and 26. We see it is to edify the church. To edify the church. We can turn the page if you get your Bible and read it. It will not be on the screen. But it says, now I wish you that, and he's talking about tongues here. Baptist, he's talking about tongues here. He's talking about tongues. And I say that repeatedly because it is a spiritual gift that is in the Scriptures. You're like, well, we don't see it here. Well, that's a whole nother thing. And you're like, well, let's chase this rabbit for just a minute because it's a big rabbit. It's an important rabbit, especially for us that who can tend to be anti-charismatic. And the verse that we hold on to, I'm not planning to do this, I'm chasing this, but the verse that we hold on to that says that that some spiritual gifts are no longer around. They said since the 66 books have come together as Scripture, some spiritual gifts are done away with. Have you ever heard that before? Nowhere is it in Scripture. It is nowhere in Scripture. This is what is in Scripture. It talks about love. And it gets in verse 13, beautiful passage about love. We use it in weddings and other places. And what he's saying is, if you have a spiritual gift of teaching or of prophecy, of generosity, of whatever, tongues, interpretation, the list of things that he gives it, but you do it in a way that doesn't love, he says it's worthless. It's like clanging cymbals together. But then we get to, I think it's in verse 8, it says, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, that it says they will be done away. Well, Pastor, that's pretty clear. And it says, if there are tongues, they will cease. Well, Pastor, that's pretty clear. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. If you didn't get that, if you're asleep, all knowledge just went away, and I'm just a vegetable. I had fun with that. I hope you did. So I think Stephanie got it there for a minute. The rest of y'all thought I was stroking or something. But and you're like, well, that's pretty clear. And it says in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. So what is he saying? He's saying, hey, these things are going to cease. They're going to come away. So boom, it's done. Let's no longer talk about this. Why are we even talking about tongues? There are churches that are going to hell because they're using tongues today. Boom, no, we got to keep reading. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Listen to this. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So to complete the thought, he says, hey, things are going to end. These are going to come because these are to edify the church and the mission of the church. But there is something greater that is coming. You can exercise your gifts, but it must be done in love. But these things will cease when the perfect comes. Earl, have we become perfect yet? No, we haven't. And Earl and I have something going on. Earl talked to me and I said, hey, that I'm not perfect yet, so I don't require you to be perfect. It's the thing that Earl and I got going on. But no, we're not perfect yet. The perfect hasn't come yet. Not until the trumpet blows and we're in heaven with God does the perfect come. Jesus is perfect. So the perfect hasn't come yet. And then we can go and all 14 talks about prophecy, talks about tongues. And just because to wrap up this rabbit hole that we're chasing, it says in the end, again, I wasn't preparing to go here, but I know where it is. The end of 14, it says, I got to get to the end of 14. It says there in verse 37, it says, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. But if any of you does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. And listen, this is the same thought of which we just read in verse 13, 7 through 9. It says, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. What is it saying? It says it's not done yet till Jesus comes back. And then as we go through and we read these passages, getting back on track, that the purpose of the spiritual gifts are to edify the church. And again, in the context of tongues, we see that in verse 14:5. It says, now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Paul wrote that right after verse 13, 7 through 9. He says, now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, and I do not speak in tongues. It is a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit gives it to whom he chooses. It is not one that we can elect or go to a class to and learn glossia, or whatever the theological terminology is for it. But it says, but even more, that you would prophesy, and greater is the one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets. Why? So that the church may receive edifying. What is that word? It's a big word that means to be built up, to be strengthened. And then in verse 11, it says here, if then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to the one who speaks a barbarian. And it says, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. And what he's talking about here, and it goes on in verse 12, so also since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek. It says, seek to abound the edification of the church. Why is he writing this to the church at Corinth? Because people were just being super charismatic and they were all just speaking in tongues. It'd be like me trying to teach the lesson right now. And then somebody just said, started to get up and they spoke in tongues, whatever that looks like. And then another one would do it. Another one was doing it. It's like a bunch of chickens. It just wasn't working. And he says, no, there's order. God has order in his church. That's why he was writing here. And he says the spiritual gifts in verse 12, they seek to abound for the edification of the church. All of our spiritual gifts, not just tongues, not just interpretation, not these things, but they are all, and we see it again in verse 26. Write that down. We won't read it. But they are all for the purpose of edifying the church. Verse 26, just because I found it there, says, let all things be done for edification. Edification of what? The church, the Holy Spirit, the mission that God has called us on, spiritual gifts. And then so we got the same purpose, and then we got the same motivation. If we're motivated by anything else than glorifying God, and then we've missed the boat. It is all about Jesus Christ. It is all about the Great Commission. It is everything that we choose to do. And then we say, hey, we're glorifying God through this. Whatever your spiritual gift that you're trying to exercise, you say, hey, I'm doing this for the glory of God. If it lines up with the glory of God and it's from the Holy Spirit, then it's going to line up with the Word of God. Every time. Tell you, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I have the spiritual gift of prophecy, and can I pull you aside so I can give you a prophecy that God has given me? Get somebody else that you know that is in the Word of God, because one of the responsibilities of the elder in the church is to listen to the prophecy and make sure it's in line with God's Word. If somebody comes and starts doing little side prophecies, that sometimes can be very deceitful. And don't receive it if it does not line up with the Word of God. But again, considering the triune God here, we see the very essence and the nature of which God is. He's interconnected. It is the same that is true of us. We are made in His image. And as in His image, that same connection that encompasses Him is that which encompasses us, as we are connected together and that we are connected with Him. That we are one unit, complementary upon one another for the purposes of God and His Great Commission. And then to wrap it up, number 3, the church's health is determined by the commitment of its members. I tell you, the church health is commitment, and it is determined by the commitment of all its members. All of us, every one of us. It is not about the speaking ability of a pastor, thank the Lord. It is not about the ability of a choir and a worship leader and instrumentalist. It's not about that. Those will attract people and different things. It's not about facilities. It's not about the events. It's not about programs. It's not about all these things that aren't necessarily bad. They're not bad at all. But it's about the commitment of its members, of the people that God has called to be a part of this body, and their commitment on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and to say, Lord, here we are to worship, and we come with one mind to worship Him, and as He works through us, that we connect with each other, and then we connect with others and carry out the Great Commission. And it is, again, it comes down to the commitment of its members. Friend, I love you guys. 42% of those that comprise our church are not committed to the membership of this church. And you're like, well, membership isn't going to get me into heaven. You're right. And I'm not going to put you on. I'm not worried about telling. It's not about anything that man has made. It is about saying, hey, I come and I bring my commitment to you, and I've come into covenant with you, because the covenant is 100% scripture of how what God has given us to work with each other. Why? So we can fulfill the power of His Holy Spirit through us and the things that He calls us to do. We cannot get to the main thing until we come and we are unified. And we've come and say that I know that I'm called to this place. I know that I belong here. I know that I have a spiritual gift. And I want to exercise it in unity with this body through the power of the Holy Spirit. we will not ever become a healthy church and with 42% of those people who participate in our gathering not willing to make a covenant commitment to this body. Well, Pastor, I'm going to go then. Well, friend, you're not going to help out the other church if you're not going to commit to them. That's just true. It is just true. I don't believe you. Read it. Read it. Read it. The health of the church, it depends on the commitments of its members. If you come and you're going to be a part and God designed you to be our foot or be our leg or be our ear, going back to what Paul was talking about, and you just decide not to do it because you don't want to, because it just doesn't fit what you want to do, then friend, guess what? This body is left without a foot or a knee or an ear. You are important to the mission that God has for us, and it is going to be more difficult, maybe even, I'm not going to say impossible because God can make the impossible possible, but it is going to challenge the health of this church. I don't believe you. Then after the service, let me hit you in the knee with a baseball bat and see how well you live this week. It's going to affect you. And it's affecting us. Get on board. I challenge you to challenge the Lord. And then next, the commitment of its members, the exercise of its of spiritual gifts. That is the work of the Spirit through the church. Again, the exercise of the spiritual gift. Pastor, I don't know my spiritual gift. I'll help you. I'll help you discover what your spiritual gift is. How? I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. Or I'm even going to suggest that you take what's called an inventory. What's an inventory? It looks like a test. Well, how can a test tell us? Because all it is, it's a bunch of questions. I'm going to say, what do you like? What, you know, what inspires you? What, you know, what kind of scriptures get you excited? You know, what kind of work of the church does it? And just people have come together and they've asked you the same questions, and you like realize, hey, you know, really, maybe I do like teaching, or maybe I do have the spiritual gift, or these things do happen. And then we go back and we test it to the Word of God. We test it to the Word of God. Just because you took a test or I told you something doesn't mean it's true until you've laid it before the Lord and said, is this my gift, Lord? If it is, Lord, honor it and show it. What if it's tongues? It's a spiritual gift. I don't know what to say about tongues except the Holy Spirit says it happens. And if somebody pops up and they do tongues, and I tell you, I'm going to be like, okay, Lord, what do I do? But he's already given me the word of what to do. And I'm going to say, okay, then we've experienced the Holy Spirit moving through the gift of tongues. Is there an interpreter here? And if there's an interpreter here, the interpreter is going to stand up and say something along the lines, thus saith the Lord. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I'm going to say, okay, we're going to stop this. It doesn't line up with the Word of God, and we'll discuss this later on. If it does line up with the Word of God, we'll let it progress. And what if somebody stands up and they do tongues and there's no interpreter? I'm going to say, based on the authority of 1 Corinthians 14, we cannot move forward because of the commandments that God puts in His Scripture, and so we cannot exercise that now. Does that mean that person's wrong? No, it's very possible that the Holy Spirit moved in there, but there's an interpreter in the room, but because of the anti-charismatic theme of some churches, that they're just afraid. They're just afraid. Hey, I know what they said, but I'm just afraid. So that doesn't mean they're wrong. There's so many things that we're going to work in this. Am I saying that I'm hoping that tongues will come? I'm saying that I'm not going to quench the Holy Spirit. We are Spirit-filled. We are Spirit-led. I'm not looking out. I'm not going to have a class on tongues tomorrow. I'm not looking for tongues. Maybe God doesn't have that here. But I'm saying it. If it is of the Holy Spirit, I will not get in His way. But I will handle everything according to God's Word and what He says. Again, exercise your spiritual gift. 42% of us have yet to make a commitment to covenant membership. And even more of us have not made a commitment to exercise our spiritual gift. We will never, ever, ever, ever be a healthy church if we're not willing to engage the Holy Spirit with the promises that He has given us in His Word. And then, again, it's the ability to produce. It's ability to produce. He connects us to a body. What is happening in our body? Right now, do you know your body is reproducing cells? It's reproducing cells. It's just little blood cells are making more little blood cells. And so what do we do as a body? is that we reproduce, we disciple, we let people grow, we make more of us. And that's why I've said several weeks ago when somebody says, hey, what can I do more? And you're already doing 17 things. I'm saying, reproduce yourself, make more of you. It's biblical. And so a body reproduces at the cellular level. Next, children, biologically, it goes and it makes more. We as a church, when we are healthy and we're exercising our spiritual gifts, I tell you, the Holy Spirit's going to work through us in such a way we're going to start seeing salvations. Amen. We're going to start seeing salvations. We've seen like one in the last year. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that, because we didn't see any the previous 2.5 years. And before I came, I think it was even more than that since we saw one. And so, again, it there's going to be a reproduction. We're out of time. I'll stay on course. It's going to reproduce families. And as we grow and we become healthy, and when you're healthy, you're going to grow until you get to adulthood, and then you reproduce in different ways through children. And imagine a church where we see salvations, we see baptisms, we see health, and then we begin planting other churches. That's the way that we find in Scripture. That is a healthy church. And then, and again, a lost world is changed when a community, and you saw how I wrote that word in the title, but when a community of Christ's followers begin doing their part. I can't do it without you. You can't do it without me. You can't do it without your neighbor. We need each other to fulfill the mission that God has for this church and this age. And nothing draws people to Jesus more. Listen, oh, this is so exciting. Nothing draws people to Jesus more than the reflection of Him through the Holy Spirit in you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit through us. And what do we see in Acts? Over and over and over again, when we see the exercise of the spiritual gifts and we see the church being the church, what did we see? And the Lord added to their number day by day at the end of Acts 2. And other places in Acts, I think it's 4 or 5. And the Lord added to their number day by day. The Lord added to their number day by day. The Lord added to their number day by day. Why? Because they were a committed church, committed to Christ, and committed to one another, committed to fulfill who they are. And then the final thought says, Rhonda is coming. The greatest thing that we can do as a church is to allow the Holy Spirit to engulf our lives. But it doesn't make sense. We've never experienced. It's never been that way before. So what? Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Rhonda led us in a song a while ago, but it says, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. And she's going to lead us that in the next few weeks. But that is just a song that I was thinking of as preparing this. But again, it is when Christ is lived out in His church, it is the beauty of the Holy Spirit lived out day by day. And that unity that we talk about, it is one mind through Christ. And I tell you, it will spark a revival like you have never seen when we get one with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. The big idea, and then Ken's going to pray for us, and Rhonda's going to sing us out. But the church is the body of Christ, and you are individual members of it. We need you. Christ commands it. We desire it. We need you.